This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last Friday, the Department of Labor released its monthly jobs report. And oh, the disappointment.
The president today faced the biggest challenge yet to his strategy to revive the economy. The Labor Department reported 266,000 jobs were added in April. That's far short of the 1 million that some economists had expected.
If you need proof that we live in strange times, today's job report just smacked us all over the head with reality. Remember, the vaccine and states reopening were supposed to be jet fuel. Instead, the big headline is people aren't going back to work anywhere near as fast as we thought.
In a rare moment of genuine surprise in Washington, some economists said they didn't know what precisely suppressed employment growth. But in Washington, I don't know is an unacceptable vacuum that must instantly be filled with hot take speculation. And so the narrative, the jobs are there, but no one wants them. The great labor shortage of 2021. And as the anecdotes of fast food chains begging for workers and local restaurants limiting hours poured in, so did theories of an alleged culprit, COVID-era unemployment benefits that were supposedly depressing America's work ethic.
On the road to recovery, another blow to the tourism and hospitality industry. Businesses now struggling to find enough employees in order to fully reopen.
As Georgia businesses recover from the pandemic, business owners have gone from seeing a shortage of customers to a shortage of employees.
And even on these conference calls for earnings this week, we've been hearing a lot of CEOs talk about they're worried about labor shortages down the line.
Government largesse has turned workers into freeloaders? Yeah, no. Heidi Shierholz is the director of policy at the Economic Policy Institute. She served as chief economist at the Department of Labor during the Obama administration. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with the jobs report. Unemployment sits at 6.1%, and that isn't low. But 266,000 jobs were added in April. Still, this led to immediate declaration of disappointing job growth. It wasn't only the prevailing news narrative, it was the only news narrative. Can you put these results in context?
Yeah, that's a good point. So 266,000 jobs added in normal times, that's actually really solid job growth. That's decent growth outside of the current context. When other economic data was pointing to signs that we might see, say, a million jobs added. When those numbers came out, even though in normal times, 266,000 is solid, compared to what people thought might happen, it was a big blow. It surprised me. I also thought that job gains would be higher than what we ended up seeing.
Now, even before the report came out, as we heard in the introduction, there was this wave of anecdotal stories about restaurants and bars not being able to find help. Some businesses even reported shortening hours, which would suggest a very tight labor market, but you say not so fast. First of all, again, the jobs report did document a whole bunch of new hires, right?
And interestingly enough, it documented a lot of job growth in leisure and hospitality, which is the sector where restaurants are located. So it's hard to really say that job growth was being held back because of labor shortages in restaurants and bars, when restaurants and bars were the sector that saw by far the biggest job growth. Like, by leaps and bounds, restaurants and bars grew more quickly than all the other sectors. It was really like job growth in leisure and hospitality was roughly what I would have expected. It was all the other sectors that saw really depressed job growth in April compared to what we were all hoping would happen.
And secondly, in terms of wages, what we saw was not necessarily typical of a tight labor market.
That's a really good point. So I think it's worthwhile to back up for a second and remember how it is we identify labor shortages. So the footprint of a labor shortage is very fast wage growth. If an employer can't attract the workers they need, they will raise wages to poach workers from other employers, who will in turn raise wages to retain their workers, and so on. So you get this increasing wage growth. So that's how you can really identify if you're seeing labor shortages. And in recent months, wages in leisure and hospitality have indeed accelerated at a rate that would suggest we're seeing some real tightness in that sector, but it's not widespread. We are not seeing wage growth accelerate across the board. We really are just seeing it in these isolated spots. And the question then gets raised, like, does that mean wage levels in leisure and hospitality are now too high? And the answer to that is absolutely not. So those wages really plummeted in the recession, and they have just now regained their pre-COVID trend. So like just now, they are roughly where they'd be if COVID had never happened. And just to give you an idea of what those levels are, the current average weekly wage for typical workers in leisure and hospitality translates into annual earnings of less than $21,000. So even though we've seen this really large acceleration of wage growth in the last couple of months, that does signal that employers, particularly restaurants, as restaurants have been reopening more broadly, that employers have had to raise wages to attract workers. They are in no way raising them to unusually high levels right now.
What's the demarcation of poverty? What's the poverty line?
The projected poverty threshold for 2021 for a family of three is $21,960.
All right. Well, that juxtaposition speaks for itself. Now, again, some articles have quoted managers saying they have done things like raising wages and offering signing bonuses, limiting hours. Is it that the press gets these anecdotes and reports them in isolation? Or is it that no matter how much they're sweetening the pot, it isn't sweet enough, or both?
I think we really are seeing the phenomenon of employers and restaurants are raising wages to attract workers, and they are attracting workers by doing that. The job growth in restaurants outpaced job growth in other sectors by a long shot.
Now, you are not alone in concluding that these data do not suggest an overall labor shortage. The Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the same thing. Of course, his main job is to keep inflation down, so I'm not sure exactly what he's rooting for. Do you?
I think if you had a widespread labor shortage that was causing acceleration of wage growth, if you were the Federal Reserve Board Chair, you might want to keep an eye on whether there is a chance that a wage acceleration in one sector, like the restaurant sector, whether that might spill over into other sectors and cause sort of widespread overheating.
And the inflationary spiral that comes with it.
Yeah, you'd want to keep an eye on that. When you look at what's going on right now, that is not something that we need to be worried about in this situation. The idea that what's going on in leisure and hospitality would drive wage trajectory in the larger economy it's just pretty ludicrous. We know that leisure and hospitality is very segmented off from other sectors. I mean, we know that just a very striking feature of the COVID recession and the K recovery that has followed it is just how insulated other sectors in the economy are from the just extreme labor market distress that was experienced in face-to-face service sectors. And then the other thing to note is that wages in leisure and hospitality are still far, far lower than in other sectors, even though they've accelerated in the last couple of months. So those increases are not going to create broader wage pressure.
As we've reported on this program again and again over the years, the press gets fixated on certain metrics and imbues them with a sort of omniscience, you know, whether it's the Dow Jones average or the GDP or jobs numbers. We tend to present them as all-telling indicators. What obvious things do we as an institution in the media do wrong when trying to assess the economy, especially in a new administration when everybody's looking really closely?
Oh, that's a really good question. One thing that we see all the time, you sort of mentioned this, was that in many cases, people in the media will focus on just the top line numbers. So, for example, right now, you see a lot of focus on the fact that the unemployment rate is 6.1% overall. That is still elevated, but it's come down a lot since its peak in the worst part of this recession. So it's demonstrating a ton of improvement. But the key thing on that unemployment rate is that it's just an overall number and masks a ton of variation for different groups. So like that overall unemployment rate of 6.1% masks an unemployment rate for Black workers of 9.7% and white workers of 5.3%. There's, you know, due to things like occupational segregation and discrimination and other labor market disparities that are really rooted in structural racism, you have these huge differences. So when you just look at overall numbers, you really do miss what's going on for many, many people on the ground.
So as you look at the underlying numbers, the big picture headlines aside, what, if anything, do these job numbers tell you? Who is getting back to work and who isn't?
One thing we saw in April was that the labor force rose a bunch, that people are getting work and we're pulling people in off the sidelines. And on the face of it, that's really great. But when you dig down under, what you saw in April was that the entire increase in labor force was among men. Women's labor force actually dropped in April. We know that women are still shouldering the lion's share of care responsibilities at home. And the fact that when you see a big increase in the labor force, but it's just among men, that really signals that care needs are still holding people back from being able to work.
Because childcare simply does not exist as part of whatever our social safety net affords.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just childcare, it's elder care, it's care for people with disabilities, it's school. All of those different systems are really a little bit broken right now. And even before this recession, we're never strong enough to really support the workers of this country. So that does really point to, okay, there, that's a huge problem that we need Congress to address.
No surprise, I suppose, that Republicans have seized on this employment data to further their hoary old stance on the welfare state, that two lucrative unemployment benefits have created a class of literally entitled lazy bone suckers at the teat of big government. It's Reagan's welfare queens all over again. Has government assistance been too good for so long in this pandemic that people are no longer incentivized to work?
There is no compelling evidence that that's what's going on. Like when you look at what happened in April, when the jobs numbers were disappointing, job growth was disappointing in April. If you look at the sector that has seen the most stories about employers not being able to find workers, the leisure and hospitality sector or the restaurant sector, that was the sector that saw the highest growth. So it doesn't jibe with this idea that unemployment insurance is keeping people out of work.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Let's just say there is some truth in the Republicans' complaint that benefits are so high that, you know, people would just as soon stay home for $11 an hour instead of work for $12. Let's just say. Mm-hmm. Does that tell us that benefits are too high, or does it tell us that wages are disastrously low?
One of the things we know in COVID is that many leisure and hospitality jobs, many restaurant jobs, they have become far harder and far riskier since COVID. And what a well-functioning labor market would do to account for this is actually offer higher wages. When a job is riskier and harder, you would actually expect that the workers in that job would get higher wages than they otherwise would. So one of the things that is true is if pandemic unemployment insurance benefits are playing some role in actually allowing this to happen, giving workers a little bit of space to wait to get higher wages rather than take that job that they used to have that's actually a ton worse now, a lot riskier, a lot harder, the unemployment insurance benefits, giving them a little bit of space to be able to wait until the wages are better, that is something economists would call efficiency enhancing. It actually makes the labor market run better. It helps the labor market respond by seeing stronger wage growth that we should be seeing when the jobs are substantially harder and riskier than they were before COVID.
Yet, earlier this week, even Joe Biden seemed to embrace the hooked on entitlements notion and the importance of pushing people back to work ASAP.
We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits.
As someone who has worked for a presidential administration where economics must be viewed through a political prism as well, what do you suppose is going on there?
Millions of workers still have serious, legitimate health concerns about returning to work. And putting pressure on people to take jobs when they are not safe by doing something like cutting unemployment insurance, all that's going to do is increase suffering. It's not actually going to get people back to work. One of the things that will on that front is all the efforts the administration is doing in getting people vaccinated. There's good data that shows that as vaccinations go up, employment goes up.
So when you heard the president, you know, at least nodding towards that notion of pushing people back to work, did you say to yourself, Joe, just shut up?
Well, what he was doing was basically just saying the thing that was already true. It is absolutely the case that if a worker is on unemployment insurance benefit but is offered and that the term is suitable work, you have to take that job. Or if you don't take it, you can no longer receive your unemployment insurance benefits. So he was more just clarifying what we all already know to be true.
So when governors of four red states say thanks but no thanks to federal aid to extend unemployment insurance, what do you think then?
I think that's really misguided economics, because we know that even though the unemployment rate is generally coming down, it's still very elevated. We still don't have enough job openings to provide jobs for everyone who needs work. The idea of turning down federal benefits when we're in a situation like that is so nearsighted. I mean, that money from the pandemic unemployment insurance benefit is coming from the federal government. It is an infusion of cash into that state that is helping support the economy, because workers who otherwise have care responsibilities and can't work, who otherwise have health concerns and can't work, they're getting those benefits that they can then spend in their state economy. And the idea that a governor would say, nope, we don't want that, we'll suck that money out of our economy, is actually going to hurt their states overall. I don't understand the logic. It seems extremely short-sighted to me.
Heidi, thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Heidi Shierholz is the Director of Policy at the Economic Policy Institute, and she served as Chief Economist at the Department of Labor during the Obama administration. This has been an OTM Podcast Extra. Be sure to tune in to The Big Show this weekend. Talk to you then. I'm Bob Garfield. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.